Il-program li ser tisimaw u għamidġu plilkom bi xoqat tajba ta' rappresentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta. Campus FM jipprezenta Il-Balomba. Program li jagħti ħarsa li l-aħħar ġrajiet u żviluppi relatati mal-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej. Produzzjoni u prezentazzjoni ta' Jasmine Saliba.
Lodu tajba jena Jasmine Saliba, nsemmilkom nilqgħakom għall-edizzjoni ta' din il-ġimgħa tal-programm Il-Balomba. Program intellem mir-rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta li fiha nagħtu ħarsa lejn l-aħbarijiet li jkunu qegħdin jiġu fl-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej. Jiena nibda dubju, il-kwistjoni tal-pandemija, l-loti u t-tilqima tal-vaċċin, id-distribuzzjoni, problemi ma' suppliers jiddominaw l-aġenda Ewropea f'dawn l-ewwel jiem ta' din il-ġimgħa. Fil-fatt din is-sena hekk kif bdiet titqassam jitqassam il-vaċin lejn l-aħħar tas-sena u eventualment kompla il-proċedura li bi jitqassam dan il-vaċin matul dawn l-ewwel jiem ta' l-ewwel ġimgħat tal-2020 li kien tama li kien hemm marbuta għall-irkupru għall-numru tal-raġunijiet fuq livell Ewropew li kienet qed iġib magħha l-kwistjoni tal-vaċin tal-COVID-19 bdew ikun hemm l-ewwel dubi. Id-dubi kienu konċernaw l-iktar mhux tant fuq il-proċeduri iżda pjuttost kien hemm dubi li kienu qegħdin jiġu meqjusa u konsidrati bħala importanti li jiġu indirizzati dwar il-produzzjoni u t-qassin. Wara li aktar kien il-ġimgħa li għaddiet il-kumpanija Pfizer ħabret li ser ikollha tnaqqas għall-perjodu l-produzzjoni minn kif kien miftiem, kienu issi l-kumpanija l-oħra AstraZeneca li waslet għall-istess soluzzjoni. U aktar kien din il-ġimgħa kien hemm ukoll laqgħat fejn kien hemm għadd ta' mistoqsijiet li ma kinux konklusivi dwar id-dikjarazzjoni li għamlet din il-kumpanija fuq it-tqassim tal-vaċċin illi kien ser ikun inqas madwar 60% ta' dak maqbul mal-pajjiżi. Dan waslet għal dikjarazzjonijiet mingħata tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea permezz tal-Kummissarju għas-Saħħa Stelekret Kiedis illi ħabret illi ser ikun qiegħda l-Unjoni Ewropea. Probabbilment tkun sfurzata illi timponi restrizzjonijiet fuq l-esportazzjoni tal-vaċin lejn pajjiżi oħra ilhin mill-Unjoni Ewropea. Nisimgħu x'kellha xi tgħid fit-tmiem il-laqgħat li kien hemm aktar kemm din il-ġimgħa. Il-Kummissarju Ewropea kien jekk jgħid.
You know that AstraZeneca's vaccine is currently in the final stages of approval with the European Medicines Agency. If all requirements are met, the European Medicines Agency could recommend market authorization by the end of this week. But there is a problem in the supply side. Last Friday, the company, AstraZeneca, surprisingly informed the Commission and the European Union member states that it intends to supply considerably fewer doses in the coming weeks than agreed and announced. This new schedule is not acceptable to the European Union. That is why I wrote a letter to the company at the weekend in which I ask important and serious questions. The European Union has pre-financed the development of the vaccine and its production and wants to see the return. The European Union wants to know exactly which doses have been produced where by AstraZeneca so far and if or to whom they have been delivered. These questions were also discussed today in the Joint Steering Board of the Commission and the 27 member states with AstraZeneca. The answers of the company have not been satisfactory so far. And that's why a second meeting is scheduled for tonight. The European Union wants the ordered and pre-financed doses to be delivered as soon as possible. And we want our contract to be fully fulfilled. In addition, the Commission has today proposed to the 27 member states in the steering board that an export transparency mechanism will be put in place as soon as possible. The European Union has supported the rapid development and production of several vaccines against COVID-19 with a total of €2.7 billion. We want clarity on transactions and full transparency concerning the export of vaccines from the EU. In the future, all companies producing vaccines against COVID-19 in the EU will have to provide early notification whenever they want to export vaccines to third countries. Humanitarian deliveries are, of course, not affected by this. The European Union will take any action required to protect its citizens and rights. Thank you.
A parte din situazzjoni relatata mal COVID-19 fu għaniet partikolari hija speċifikatament marbuta mal-kwistjoni tal-vaċċin, kellna wkoll il-sitwazzjoni marbuta mal-mod kif l-Unjoni Ewropea ser tħares lejn il-kwistjoni tal-protezzjoni tal-ċittadini tagħha b'mod aktar protett, aktar skif fid-dawl tal-mod kif qed isir l-vjaġġar u biex kemm jista' jkun jissaħħu l-frontieri wara kemm numru ta' pajjiżi li kienu qed iwissu li jistgħu b'xi mod ukoll jalqu l-frontieri. Dan wassal biex ikun hemm laqgħat bejn l-istati membri li fihom kien hemm diskussjoni dwar il-mod kif għandha tiġi indirizzata din is-sitwazzjoni biex kemm jista' jkun hemm koerenza qbil u mod sħiħ uniku maqut dwar il-sitwazzjoni fiha nifisha ta' protezzjoni u anka l-manager tal-frontieri. Ser nisimgħu il-kummenti li taw il-Kummissarju Reinders u l-Kummissarju Hansen in konnessjoni ma' l-vjaġġar l-istabilar tal-żoni ħomor skuri wara l-kellna l-ħomor il-ħodor u l-oranġo biex ikun hemm il-qugħ għal kwistjoni tal-pandemija tal-COVID-19 u il-mod kif din qed tinfiri il-mod partikolari anka fid-dawl tal-varjanti li bdew jiġu rapportati f'numru ta' pajjiżi. Għed minnom oriġina, kif għedna minn l-exit sa' membru ta' Unjoni Ewropea Renju Unit, illi parlan madana kollu, jibqa parti minn kontinent u għallura kellu impatt u koll fuq dan l-aspet.
Good afternoon and welcome to this press conference. I'm happy to welcome Commissioner Reinders and Commissioner Johansson to the press room, who will present to you an update to the measures for travel within and from outside the European Union. So without further ado, I would ask Commissioner Reinders to start.
No, thank you very much. And less than 5 months ago, I spoke to you from this podium to present the Commission's proposal to coordinate measures restricting free movement in the European Union. And since then, we have had both good news and, unfortunately, also bad news. The start of the EU vaccination campaign, quick of beginning of the end of the pandemic, it was seems like the beginning of the end. At the same time, new, more transmissible variants of the virus have surfaced. There is currently a very high number of new infections across many member states, and there is an urgent need to reduce the risk of travel-related infections to lessen the burden on overstretched healthcare systems. This is also supported by the recommendation issued by the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control, ECDC, in its rapid risk assessment of 21 January 2021. This is why, in addition to the recommendation adopted last October and following the discussions between the head of states and governments last Thursday, today the Commission is recommending further measures in two areas. First, the Commission is proposing the addition of a new colour, dark red, to the colour code map published weekly by the ECDC. This is to reflect the high level of infections partially linked to new coronavirus variants, and would apply to an area where the 14-day notification rate of infections is 500 or more. So it's a new category, a new zone with a new color, the dark red color. The Commission, secondly, is proposing updates to the common approach regarding travel from high-risk areas. First, the Commission proposes that all non-essential travel to and from high-risk areas is strongly discouraged. In this context, we also invite member states to ensure consistency between the measures they take regarding cross-border travel and travel within their territory. So the same approach in the entire European Union, not only for cross-border travel, but also inside the different territories of the Member States. We still believe Member States were correct when they agreed in October that, in principle, the entry of those travelling from other Member States should not be refused. Should Member States consider restrictions necessary, they could require people travelling from non-green areas to quarantine and or undergo a test prior to and or after arrival. We are suggesting stricter measures for dark red areas because we must recognize the high level of cases. It is why Member States should require individuals coming from these areas to do a test prior to arrival and quarantine after arrival if needed. As before, there should be exceptions to the rules. People living in cross-border regions, for example, who cross borders frequently to work, to go to school or take care of a family member, should not be required to quarantine. We also think it is necessary for essential travellers arriving from dark red areas to get tested before travelling and to undergo quarantine, unless these measures would have a disproportionate impact on the exercise of their essential function. This is necessary to protect our citizens and the functioning of the single market. We all depend on this. Yes, the risks when travelling have increased. The Commission's proposal addressed these risks because we cannot afford to disrupt essential travel and supply chains, not least to keep the delivery of vaccines going. Nor can we afford to confuse citizens. This is why we will continue to have one map with one common colour code, updated weekly by the ECDC, and it is why have a one-stop shop for all travel-related queries, the Reopen EU platform. So it's possible to use, of course, the platform. As was the case last time, the next steps are for the Council to discuss and agree if it's possible. It's promising that IPCR will already meet this afternoon. The Commission will provide all support to advance as quickly as possible. It is now for the Council to reach a decision, but we expect this is to come swiftly. It's a question of safety, and it's a question of the protection of all the EU citizens inside the European Union, but also there are other rules for outside the EU.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Speaking of the outside angle, Commissioner Johansson.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. And today the Commission has adopted a new recommended coordinated approach on all forms of travel to and from third countries to the European Union. And this is based on the changes in the epidemiological situation over the last weeks and months. All non-essential travel, especially to and from high-risk areas, should be strongly discouraged until the epidemiological situation has considerably improved. Most notably, the proposal today aims at addressing the nature of the virus present in any third country, in particular whether variants of concern of the virus have been detected. Mutations are hard by definition to track, to assess and to contain. In June, we, the Commission, proposed a list of countries to the EU that could have non-essential travel. Since then, this list has unfortunately gotten shorter and shorter and shorter. Our priority has to be to minimize transmission and ultimately infection rates. That's why we today are proposing new measures which include testing for all arrivals to the European Union, including essential travellers. For any travel to the European Union, there should be a PCR test in 72 hours before departure. Member States are also strongly encouraged to set up additional measures for countries where variants of concern of the virus have been detected, such as self-isolation, quarantine and contact tracing for a period up to 14 days. EU citizens and residents should be given the possibility to test upon arrival to make sure that they're not being stuck in the third country and not being able to come back as quick as possible. A passenger locator form should be an obligation, and we should move as soon as possible to European passenger locator form. Our colleagues, Commissioner Dina Valian, and also together with Stella Kyriakides, are working on this right now. It's important that we keep essential travel possible, even though they have to make this test in advance. Travel back to European Union by EU or long-term residents and their family members remains essential. Love remains essential. And travel for workers across borders and transport workers, for example, for pilots. So this is, they need to be able to travel quite easily, even with these new measures. The member states, as DGR already mentioned, will discuss this in the IPCR already this afternoon. As I have said since March, when external restrictions on non-essential travel were first introduced, and in June, when we measured the response during the summer period, the effectiveness of these proposals are based on member states' ability to work quickly and as much as possible in fully coordinated manner, in a consistent manner. A European approach at our common European external borders, clearly communicated to citizens in advance. And of course, the Commission stands ready to assist in all of the above. Thank you.
Aktar minni din is-sena bdiet il-fażi tal-Presidenza tal-Unjoni Ewropea minant il-Portugal. Portugal illi wkoll għaddej bl-isfidi tiegħu in konnessjoni mal-COVID-19, illi iżda madankollu din il-Presidenza għandha wkoll aspett relatat magħha. Se ninsegwu l-kummenti li saru f'konferenza tal-aħbarijiet illi fiha ġew indikati u preżentati mill-ora awtoritajiet tal-Unjoni Ewropea se jkunu l-prioritajiet tal-Unjoni Ewropea taħt il-Presidenza Portugiża.
Bonjour à tous, merci beaucoup de votre présence.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here. Apologies for the slight delay. We are starting this press conference on the presentation of the programme of the Portuguese Presidency. We have Mr. Sassoli, Mr. Costa, the Prime Minister of Portugal, and President of the Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. President Sassoli, to start, please. Thank you very much for your interest in this important day, the beginning of the Portuguese rotating presidency. We heard in the plenary debate that there was a great deal of faith and trust expressed in the Portuguese presidency. We want to see a more digital, a more green, a more resilient Europe, and in particular we're focusing on strengthening our calling card, the social framework, the social model in Europe, and there are going to be a series of particularly important initiatives and a great deal of commitment over the medium to long term. We have seen that there is a broad consensus on this, and we're very proud of this because we believe that trust between institutions is really necessary if we're going to move forward and ensure that in all of our countries Europe can help us to overcome these serious difficulties that we're facing. We have to work even harder, create new tools, and really focus in order to ensure that success for the European Union means success for all of our member states. Thank you, Prime Minister. Thank you to President von der Leyen for being here with us all morning in plenary, both in the early debate this morning on issues relating to the United States, as well as for the start of the presidency. Thank you.
The Premier Minister.
Prime Minister, you have the floor.
Muito boa tarde. Eu queria começar por agradecer ao Presidente Sassoli o acolhimento neste Parlamento, do qual já fui membro, do qual já fui vice-presidente, e mais uma vez me senti em casa, embora hoje numa nova condição. E quero aqui congratular-me pelo grande consenso que encontrei relativamente àquilo que são as principais prioridades da presidência portuguesa. Como todos sabemos, nós vivemos neste momento, simultaneamente, um dos momentos mais dramáticos da crise pandémica em muitos países, designadamente no meu, mas também um novo momento de esperança com o arranque do processo de vacinação.
I need the English.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Como eu dizia, nós vemos simultaneamente um momento que é um momento dos mais dramáticos desta pandemia em muitos países, designadamente no meu, mas também simultaneamente de esperança, onde o arranque do processo de vacinação, por um lado, e por outro lado...
And the agreement established by the new multi-annual financial framework and Next Generation EU, that opens a door for hope. So the motto of our presidency is time to deliver. Time for a fair green digital recovery. Time to put in place the decisions that we took in recent months. So we have three clear priorities. The first is economic and social recovery for Europe. The second is the development of the European Union's social pillar. And the third is strengthening the autonomy of a Europe open to the world. On the first priority, well, that depends on vaccination, but also the quick adoption and putting in place of the national plans. So it's key that national parliaments adopt the plan on EU own resources and for the European Parliament to vote on the new regulation so that this can be implemented. On the social pillar, it means giving political force to the plan that the European Commission is going to be presenting to implement the 20 principles we adopted a few years ago in Gothenburg. And we're going to organise a social summit with the civil society and member states and so on, so that there is a common commitment to strengthen the social dimension of Europe. And the social dimension is key to give citizens trust, to give businesses confidence that the major challenges we're facing under, for the climate and digital transition will be supported by strong investment in qualifications, in innovation for businesses, and in social protection, so no one's left behind. And finally, we need a more autonomous Europe which is open to the world. So the day of Joe Biden's inauguration is a day when we should feel hope in the renovation, in the renewal of our relationship with Europe. It's also a day on which I want to call on the European Parliament to quickly adopt the agreement made with the UK before Christmas. It is an old ally and will be a good partner in the future. So we want to deepen also our relationships with the neighbourhood, with Africa, with Latin America, but we also want to adopt a strong position in Asia Pacific, and so we will organise an India-EU summit so that we have a strong partnership between the two main largest democracies in the world, India and the EU. So I'm very happy that after this intense morning of debate with the whole political spectrum represented here in this parliament, well, I'm leaving here with confidence that facing all the challenges we have a strong underpinning of support here. And I hope in the coming 6 months that I will be able to help the Parliament, the President of the Council shall Michel and particularly President von der Leyen help them to make progress on the major challenges they're facing, where they've shown, in the face of the largest challenge since the Second World War, they've shown the added value of the EU. We have a portfolio of vaccines now which will allow all EU citizens access to have access to vaccines on an equal basis. And we've also shown that we had the ability to mobilize capacities that no state on their own could have had, so that we can deal with these major challenges, protect our economies, and protect jobs, 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 which is vital to the future of our citizens. Thank you very much.
President von der Leyen.
Yes, thank you very much. Dear Antonio, we are very much looking forward to the Portuguese presidency. And it's going to be a pleasure to work together. The tasks are enormous. I just wanted to reinforce three thoughts that have already been mentioned. The first one is indeed this Portuguese presidency comes at a very crucial point in time where we are battling this pandemic. And indeed, on one hand, we see the vaccine roll out. And this is the light at the end of the tunnel. We know that. But we also know that the months and weeks ahead will be hard for citizens, they'll be hard for businesses, because we all are aware of the fact that we still need lockdowns across Europe. We do have prolonged lockdowns across Europe, and this comes, of course, at a high price. It's necessary, but we know it comes at a high price. It is now very reassuring that we succeed to put in place our vaccine strategies greatly and swiftly. But also to have Next Generation EU. You mentioned it because we know the longer the crisis lasts, the more important it is that we come with strong investment that at the same time modernizes into the European Green Deal, the digitalization, and of course reinforces the appropriate social safeguards that are necessary. So I'm very much looking forward to the summit we will have in May in Porto. And I can only reiterate that it is necessary now that we have a swift ratification process for Next Generation EU in the respective member states, because we do need now the economic recovery. Second thought, indeed it is a very special day, not only because we start here in Parliament, the Portuguese presidency, but it is a very special day because of the inauguration ceremony that we are waiting for, and because of the end of a very obstructive 4 years on the side of the United States, and now we see the United States coming back into international cooperation. So I'm looking very much forward to presenting to Joe Biden our proposal for a new transatlantic agenda. There's a lot of things we have in common, a lot of things to do. And it's very good that the U.S. is coming back to the international stage. But indeed, as you said, Antonio, the EU must steer its own course and continue to reinforce its partnerships across the whole globe. And this is why I'm very much looking forward in particular to your proposal for the EU-India summit in May. Indeed, when we are looking to Asia and in particular to India, we tend to overlook the amazing potential of this biggest democracy in the world. The health crisis indeed reminded us that this overlooking, we do this at our peril. So it's good that we will have the summit and that we are missing out on a world of opportunities if we do not interact with India that is offered by a subcontinent as diverse and as dynamic as the European Union. So I'm sure, Antonio, that Europe will benefit from your experience and your understanding of India and, of course, in the international arena in general. And last point. Indeed, it is so good that Joe Biden has announced that the U.S. will rejoin the Paris Agreement immediately. Of course, this is great news for us in the fight against climate change, and we, from the bottom of our heart, will welcome it. But it's also a further reason for Europe to speed up its effort to get moving and to keep the first mover advantage. This is important. So I like competition. It's good competition. It's positive competition when it comes to the green economy. And of course, I count on the Parliament. I know the large support there and the Portuguese presidency to help us to push forward to implement the European Green Deal and mainly the climate law. So we're looking forward to a lot of work. I just mentioned a few things, and thanks very much for all the support.
Bekġena fitmim l-edizzjoni ta' din il-ġimgħa tal-programm il-balomba jina ġażmin saliba nsemmilkom nawkuralkom il-kumplement tal-jum it-tajjeb. Saħħa.
Għadkom kemm smajtu. Il-balomba. Produzzjoni u preżentazzjoni ta' ġażmin saliba. Il-programm li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bixewqa tajba ta' rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta.